Welcome to another episode of The Professor and the Princess. We're your co-hosts. This is Randy.
Hello.
And I'm Henri. And we like to flip stereotypes. We like to interrupt societal norms. And we like to try to make people be a bit more open-minded or very open-minded, right?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. And we do this one conversation at a time, covering a variety of different topics. Mm-hmm. And today we're going into a topic that I'm sure we all can relate to. We're talking about stress and anxiety and how they show up.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask you a simple question. Randy.
Yes.
Do you experience stress and anxiety, and how do they show up for you?
This is going to sound crazy, but I'm going to say it anyway. If you would have asked me 2 years ago, do you have anxiety? I would have said absolutely not. Mm. Never.
Really?
I'm fine. I'm always fine. And people, and I would say it's almost like eerie that nothing really affects me. Mm. What I didn't know is that I was anxious 24/7, 365. So there's fight, flight, or fear, or freeze, whatever it is, was constantly coursing through my veins, so much so that I didn't know that I was anxious, because I was always anxious. And I've done a tremendous amount of work on myself since then and have learned that. And so there's a thing, like, I feel like I had hypervigilance, mm-hmm. where you're always ready, mm-hmm. you know, like you're always on the edge of your seat, so to speak. Yeah. And so, yes, I realized that I was anxious a lot, and it presents itself in lots of different ways, and it presents itself based on different things that will cause it over the course of a day or period of time.
Wow.
So I'm really, it's a, and you know this because we've talked about it. It's a process. Yeah. I'm working on it. I'm much better than I was. Even just being able to say that, yes, I'm anxious a lot and I have a lot of stress in my life is huge. You know, we've talked about, you know, just being open, honest, vulnerable, and being able to say it is miles and miles ahead of where I used to be. I used to think I had to be perfect. Mm. And by saying, yes, I'm stressed, I'm anxious, would make me imperfect.
Yes.
And make other people uncomfortable. And now I'm like, tough.
Exactly. Because you're talking about it for yourself, right? Yes. And to be honest about it. And I think that's like most people. Most people will not talk about stress, anxiety, any mental, what I like to call wellness processes, mm-hmm. right? Because it makes folks, you know, there's a stigma still, you know, when it comes down to any kind of mental illness. We know that for sure. So how have you managed, or how do you manage your stress, or when you have stressful moments and anxiety?
Honestly, I really take a moment to breathe. Mm-hmm. It sounds so freaking obvious and cliche, but it's the truth. Mm-hmm. I regulate my breathing. Mm-hmm. I focus on it, and I do things to alleviate it, whether it's just laughing with a friend, going for a walk, mm-hmm. watching what I call comfort food TV, like watching an episode of a show that I've seen 100 times, mm-hmm. doing things that ease it a little bit. Getting out of my head and into my body, I find is very helpful. Whether that's just walking around the block, going in the kitchen and baking something, doing something physical, mm-hmm. to get you out of your head. Because we know it's all up here,
right?
But it presents in the body, right? Mm-hmm. The tightness in the chest, or the clenching of the jaw, or whatever it is, wherever it shows up for you. Mm-hmm. And so, even at work, when things are stressful and emotions are flowing, and you're getting like caught up in the stress of the moment, taking that 30 seconds, shut that door, close your eyes, and just breathe back into your body. That's the things I've been trying to do, and it does help, because otherwise you're just a walking bundle of nerves, mm-hmm. and it becomes not only physically unhealthy but mentally unhealthy to always be in that state of anxiety. Mm-hmm. What about you? I mean, what causes it for you, and how do you manage it?
Nope. I don't deal with stress or anxiety at all. I don't have either.
Liar.
Exactly. Pants on fire. I have to tell you, right? I start with the results. I remember going to the dentist, and I've always had the perfect record at the dentist. Mm. And my dentist told me, she said, Henri, I have to give you a night guard. I have to get, and I was like, well, why? She said, but are you clenching your teeth, you know, or grinding your teeth at night? And I'm like, well, I don't know. I'm asleep. I don't know what's happening. She said, but do you feel any pains? And I was having headaches. Mm-hmm. And every night I was grinding my teeth down. It was so bad in the back, like my back, the grinders. So that's one way I saw, you know, and I felt it as well. When it comes down to anxiety, I was having a conversation with my therapist. I go to therapy once a week. Alan White is the best. We were talking about this whole idea of abandonment versus anxiety, because I thought that I was dealing with some kind of abandonment issues. And we started talking about a story about my mom coming late home from work late one night because she went out with some friends and our babysitter didn't tell us. And I was an astute kid. So I was like, where's mom? And I was used to routine because my mom was a routine woman. And when my mom came home, I was like crying. I burst out into tears. I was crying and I'm like, mom, what happened? And she's like, nothing. I just went out for, you know, a night with friends after work. And it was my first bout with separation anxiety. Mm-hmm. And actually it shows up in my life now. In a big way, right? I've learned to maintain it, but specifically with separation anxiety, when I leave my friends, when a partner would leave to go on a business trip or to go out, right? I would feel this like overwhelming angst and fear of, I didn't know what was going on, but I just didn't want people to leave me. So that's how anxiety shows up. And I'm sure anxiety shows up in different ways, but that was like one of the focal points in last year. So I started out having to talk myself off the ledge when those moments were happening, right? When I would feel that anxiety energy, like the sweats and the fear and the, I was just scared, right? I would talk myself like, dude, it's people are coming back. Like, it's not about the world coming to an end and, you know, or something horrible is going to happen. And when it came to, when it comes to stress, I have all the things, right? I live in a very calm space that I've created. So I have candles. I have my Buddhas around the house because the visuals are important to me to bring me back to a very mindful, grounded state. So that's been my bout with stress and anxiety and also the remedies, the processes in order to help me bring myself to a more calm state.
You know, you said something that really I think is important and resonated with me. When you discussed your separation anxiety when you were a child. Mm-hmm. And first of all, I just want to shout out to Mel Robbins' podcast.
Mel is a rock star.
Because I've listened to every episode and she's done a bunch of really good episodes around these topics. Mm-hmm. And one of the aha, like lights went on moments for me was when one of her experts, who's, you know, a doctor in something neurological, this or that, said, that all of that anxiety and trauma and stress and all of that that we experience as adults, every bit of it comes from our young, young childhood. Mm. Even if it was something as early on as being in your crib and somebody not coming for you soon enough, and how we literally hold that in our bodies our entire lives.
Yeah.
And so just having that knowledge was like a power for me to know that this isn't me being crazy. This is me reacting to something that happened so many years ago that I have no memory of it, but it's embedded and imprinted in my body. And that's why I'm having this reaction to whatever is happening right now. You know, for me, sometimes it would feel like my blood runs cold. I don't even know if that makes sense, but I would feel like a chill through my body when I would get super stressed out. Or, you know, your heart starts to beat really fast, even though it's not. It feels like it's palpitating, those kinds of things. And even though you can't go back and solve those traumas from your childhood, if you understand where it's coming from, you can address it and you can relate to it differently. So I think that was a great example you gave of, you know, something that happened when you were young, how it can still affect you today. And I think that's very real.
Absolutely. And I love that you brought up the idea of how stress shows in our life. I have to say, at this age, in these 40s, I feel more stress. I mean, I feel the stress. I can see it a lot more. Whereas I lose sleep. Like, I will wake up in the middle of the night or at 3 o'clock because I'm getting older, so I have to go to the bathroom at 3 a.m. Exactly.
Welcome.
Right. Oh, my God. It's a whole thing. And then I, like, start to spin, right? Mm-hmm. I'm in the bed thinking about everything, people's reactions to things, that manage folks and, you know, how the business is running and all the things that we need to produce and launch, et cetera, right? So I sit and I will spin. I don't sit. I'm in my bed and I'm trying to force myself to go to sleep. I count the sheep. Mm-hmm. One thing that works for me is that I focus on my breaths, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So truly like taking in the breath and saying, I'm inhaling now, I'm exhaling. And usually about 3 or 4 of those, I can fall back asleep. Mm-hmm. Unless I'm like super stressed out and everything is like heavy top of mind, that I've accepted that as a natural part of my experience and existence is that I will be stressed. This is how stress is going to show up. And this is what I need to do when it shows up mm-hmm. rather than fighting it. Cause I used to fight it before and say, you're being ridiculous, Henri. And mm-hmm. wherever that was coming from, my critical mind saying that's ridiculous, caused more stress. Mm-hmm. Right. So I'm just totally. In a different place. You know, thinking about this, I don't know if you have more to talk about with that specific area, Randy, but I've been thinking about how mental illness, specifically stress and anxiety, is being weaponized mm-hmm. in a lot of different ways.
Yes.
In classrooms, in universities, yes. schools, across young people, kids,
yes.
right?
You don't have to tell me.
Right. Yeah. As a professor, you totally understand. And then in the workplace. Right. And how things have shifted in so many different ways. Right.
Yep.
I think it's great that we have protections mm-hmm. to protect and support people who are experiencing any kind of mental illness, mental wellness challenges.
Yes.
But then also that weaponizing piece of how people are not taking it seriously. And it's very serious when you think about the spectrum.
Well, and also what's happening is that it's the boy who cried wolf syndrome. You don't know when someone's being honest or not, because it's just an easy out. So mm-hmm. for example, you know, as I've said before, I'm a professor, and back in the day when I was in college, and I'm sure when you were in college, you had, as a student, you had a certain amount of responsibility to do what you had to do mm-hmm. in order to get a grade.
Right.
Now the administration at many schools, I can only speak to the one that I'm at, has a policy where if a student says to you, I'm anxious, I'm having a bad day, bad mental health, I'm uncomfortable, I'm not feeling grounded, however they want to put it, it's just a pass. Mm. And I do think that at least 70-80% of the time, it's just an excuse to not do the work.
Mm.
And as a policy, I can't question them. I can't call them out. I have to just accept it. And to your point, that's how people are using it as a crutch, which I don't think is a good thing. There are people who are genuinely suffering.
Right.
And they should be supported. And I have absolute empathy for them. Mm-hmm. But it's the other people who use it as a way to avoid responsibility, to avoid accountability, that is very infuriating and frustrating. And while I'm not saying that the world has gotten worse in this particular regard, I do think that we have to be more honest with one another and with ourselves that am I really needing this extension? Am I really needing this time to take a step back? Or am I just kind of being like, I really don't feel like doing this homework tonight, so I'm just going to blow it off and say I'm feeling anxious. Mm-hmm. And I do think a lot of people do that. So it's two things, right? It's the genuine people who are having issues mm-hmm. and how we're two of them. We have our own stuff, but how we operate in the world and still get our stuff done.
Yeah.
We're not missing work from this. We're not missing deadlines, right? We're getting right. shit done.
And I think that we're doing a disservice to younger generations mm-hmm. with this idea of just honoring whatever the reaction is, right? Because some of it is real. As a clinician, and I went to school, I studied applied psychology, and I've been, you know, at Bellevue and at different environments mm-hmm. where there's severe mental illness, there's severe anxiety, mm-hmm. severe stress with folks.
Right.
And trying not to have the reaction with that knowledge, trying not to have that reaction in work and in academia of, guys, if you want to see the true spectrum of severity right. of these different things. Let me take you to this space. But having conversations about how to work through them, you know, whatever levels at a spectrum or the experience that folks are having, young folks are having, or people in general, because adults, you know, have that experience too. And I think that adults weaponize mental illness and mental experiences mm-hmm. in the workplace, right? Yeah. And it's this whole idea of having conversations about what that means rather than just saying, okay, fine, you're saying you're having this experience, you got a letter from the doctor and kind of just move on. Because I think that the industry, meaning medical industry, is a bit flawed as well. Because if you look at psychopharmaceuticals, right, mm-hmm. it's all about kind of throwing pills at people in that yep. industry, right? So we're not taking it as seriously as we need to. Clearly, this is probably going to be a multi-episode experience yep. because there's so much to talk about, you know, but that it takes me there about how responsible are we really being when it comes to mental health and mental wellness.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to bring up the same issue about people just being prescribed pills for just about everything related mm-hmm. to that stuff, whether mm-hmm. it's anxiety, depression, ADHD, and on and on. The list goes on right. and on. And I do think that's a whole nother episode that we can explore mm-hmm. at a later date, because we do have to end, mm-hmm. even though this has been really interesting. And I think we have a lot more to say on the topic. And I think we can continue to talk about things around this space, and we will. So thank you, everyone, for joining us on this episode. The Professor and the Princess is our handle. You can find us at theprofessorandtheprincess@gmail.com. Reach out. Let us know what you want to hear about. We're happy to embrace any topic. You can find us on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. We're everywhere.
We're everywhere.
Share, subscribe, like, give us a review. We'll see you next time. Au revoir.
Au revoir, guys.